I have a burden to preach a message that I believe that will be an encouragement not only to individuals, but to our church as a whole. Luke chapter number 1, we'll read one verse this morning, and then for sake of time, we'll go through the details of the chapter in the message. Verse number 37 of Luke chapter number 1. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Would you read that with me? It's a very short verse. I think we all can handle that together. Would you read that with me? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, impossible is a word that in our English language is looked at and viewed at as something of a negative thing. And humanly speaking, it is. In fact, we associate impossible with fear, with abandon, with hopelessness, with no direction, maybe someone who's discouraged. It's impossible. It can't happen. It won't happen. It'll never happen. In fact, the word that in impossible that I'm talking about this morning is a word that all of us have probably heard at some point in some time in our lives. The doctor may say, it's impossible. The partner in your life, the spouse, may say, the marriage, it's impossible. Maybe someone looks at you and says, you know, the potential that you have in your life, it's impossible. Maybe they say you can't do it, or it can't be done, or it will never happen. In fact, what they're saying is that you do not have the ability in and of yourself to do it. It means that man's human ability is not good enough. It means that we cannot accomplish what we need to accomplish on our own. It means that our hands, humanly speaking, are tied. It means that our time frame is, humanly speaking, is expired. The word impossible is such a big word today. I would say probably our church knows what it means to have the word impossible. It's impossible to have a good church. It's impossible to have a church that honors God and lives for God in the society we live in. I'm sure our church has heard, it's impossible to have revival. It's impossible to reach Swain County. It's impossible to be a light in this dark world. It's impossible. I'm sure our teenagers have heard this before. It's impossible to grow up in 2014 and live for God. I'm sure they heard it's impossible to live your life and remain pure before God in 2014. I'm sure our young people have heard, it's impossible for you to serve God and live for God and give your life in full sacrifice to Him. Whatever He wants, it's impossible to do that. I'm sure many people in this room have heard, it's impossible. Here the word impossible we find in Luke chapter number 1 and verse 37 is in regard to a human circumstance. And today, may God help us understand how He views impossible and not how we view impossible. Notice with me, first of all, this morning, and I'll go through the background of the story in the message. So notice, first of all, with me, write this down if you would, we see the impossible feat. The impossible feat. The story we find in Luke chapter 1 is what we normally preach or teach around Christmas time. It's a Christmas story. It's the story of Jesus Christ being born. In fact, it's the prelude to Jesus being born. We won't have a lot of time, but we begin reading in verse number 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse, to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I'll stop right there for a moment. You know the story. Here's Mary, and she's a virgin. She's never been with a man. She's never known a man. She's a spouse. She's been pretty much engaged to Joseph to be married. In that period of her life where she's not married, but she's been given in marriage. Here was the Bible says here about Mary that she is going to be the mother of Jesus. And as the angel Gabriel begins to tell her, begins to exclaim to her, you will have a child. Now, understanding in human terms this morning, that's not possible. Humanly speaking, it is not possible. In fact, if I were to use this word, you could associate this word. It is impossible. God has set up an order. God has set up a way. And from the very beginning, he set up this way that he ordained and having a child. And he said, this is the way I want it done. And the angel came unto Mary and said, you're going to have a child. And can't you think what Mary's thinking and saying? That is impossible. I'm pure. I've never known a man. I've never been with a man. It's impossible. So we see here the angel coming to Mary, and within her ability and with her, humanly speaking, she is incapable of having a child. And then we find also in this chapter another impossible feat. In this same scripture, we learn about Mary's cousin by the name of Elizabeth. And the story tells us Elizabeth is wanting a child, but she can't have a child. She desires to have a child. She begs for a child. In fact, the Bible says she's barren. She can't have a child. And the story would tell us that she finds out that she's 6 months pregnant. And her husband would say, that's impossible. It can't happen. The doctors have told me no. Everyone said no. We've tried for years. It cannot happen. I am humanly, because of my age and because of all the circumstances of life, I cannot have a child. She would say, that is impossible. It's an impossible feat. It cannot be done. It cannot be accomplished. I cannot have a child. We have two circumstances this morning of Mary who, in her own human ability, because she's never known a man and will be pregnant with the very Son of God, it is impossible, she says. And her very cousin Elizabeth, because of her age and because of her barrenness, she could not have a child. She says, that is impossible. As the video this morning says, God does his best work when things are impossible. When things look like you can't do it and it can't be done and everybody says it won't happen and nothing will ever be fixed, that's when God says, wait a minute, I can do the impossible. So we have these two illustrations here of these great impossible feats. This morning I could also give you many, many details of other impossible feats found in Scripture. Jesus turned the water into wine. Jesus went around healing people who were sick and who were deaf and who were dumb, who were lame, who hadn't walked in all their lives in 38 years, John chapter 5, the Bible says, and he healed that man. Lepers were cleansed. A lady with an issue of blood was completely cured. I'm talking about people who were dead, the Bible says. Jesus raised them from the dead. Those are just other examples of impossible feats. Things that everybody said, you'll never walk again, you'll never hear again, you'll never see again, you'll never live again. Impossible. Just as we read stories and examples today of lives that were changed because somebody looked at them and said, you'll never do it, it'll never happen, you'll never be healed, you'll never do anything for God. There are stories all across this room of people looking you in the eye and say, it's impossible. Your healing will not come. It's impossible. You will not work this marriage out. It is impossible. You'll never live for God after what you've done, after the mistakes you've made, after the life you've lived. You'll never live for God. It's impossible. I'm looking at people all across this crowd this morning and those who are listening to me by way of internet who would say, Brother John, somebody's already told me it's impossible. In our lives, because we're human, in our lives because we are made of flesh, we in and of ourselves have not the potential nor the ability to accomplish what we want to accomplish. It's impossible. But notice, second of all, this morning, as we move along in the story, not only see the impossible feat, but number two, we see the instructions there to follow. It's amazing to me what the simple instructions the angel gave to Mary. And that was the verse we read. Here's the instructions. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Pretty simple instructions, isn't it? Pretty simple, straight to the point. Mary, I know you got questions. Mary, I know you're probably afraid. Mary, I know you probably don't think this can happen. But Mary, let me just give you one simple set of solutions for you, one row of instructions that you just need to listen to. Mary, here's what it is. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. In other words, the angel looking at Mary and saying, Mary, I know that humanly it's not possible. Mary, I know within of yourself it's not possible. And I know others may not think it's possible. And I know medically it's not possible. And I know physically it's not possible. But the angel said, Mary, that's not the instructions I gave you. The instructions are this. With God, all things are possible. The angel looks at Elizabeth and said, Elizabeth, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I know you've been barren for this long. I know the doctor said you can't have a child. I know that everyone says it's not possible. I know that physically and medically it's not possible. I know your husband's going to laugh at you. I know it's not going to be possible, humanly speaking. But the only instructions they gave to them was, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. What is it in your life that's impossible? What is it in your family, in your marriage, that's impossible? What is it in your body that's impossible, humanly speaking? What is it that's impossible? Would you turn to Mark chapter number 5? We read it beginning this morning, but I'd like to read it again. This situation reminds me of Jairus and his daughter, Mark chapter number 5. Here's the story. I won't read the whole scripture, but here's the story. Jairus comes to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is just going about doing his normal thing. He's healing people. He's preaching. He's teaching. He's just being Jesus. And Jairus comes to him and said, I've heard about you. My daughter's sick and she's going to die. And the Bible says that Jesus left with him. Look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says in verse number 22 of Mark chapter 5. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him great and say, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Verse 24, notice this. And Jesus went with him. So Jesus cared about him. Jesus loved him. Jesus knew that he had a situation, probably an impossible situation. He went with him. But you know what happens? On his way, here comes this great crowd as he's trying to get through the crowd to get to Jairus' daughter. Notice what the Bible says. Verse number 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In other words, that's saying that everybody's touching him. Everybody's trying to get just a touch of Jesus. Verse 25, and a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, it was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Doesn't it seem to be that way in our impossibilities? Not only is it impossible, but it seems to get worse and worse and worse. The Bible says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know the story. I won't read anymore. Jesus, this woman, touched him in faith. The impossible faith. She touched him, and the Bible says she was made whole. Now, this is all good and well, but to Jairus, guess what's going on? Jairus, hey, my daughter's dying. The Bible says that this woman touched him and Jesus stopped. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus stopped. Can I tell you something about our impossibilities for just a moment? That even when it's impossible, sometimes the impossibilities seem like time-wise nothing will ever be cured or helped. Jesus is going with Jairus. Can you imagine Jairus saying, "Jesus, man, come on with me." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'll go." And Jesus going, and all of a sudden Jesus stops. Do you know this morning that our time is not the same time as God has? That the time that God has is not the same time we have, and that we want it done on our time, and we want it done when we want it, but God says, "No, no, no, that's not my time." Someone says, "God's never late, he's always on time." Regardless of the situation, God works the impossible. Jairus, eventually this woman was healed, and all this happened in the someone came and said, "Jairus, your daughter, she's dead. She's gone." And the Bible says as they approached her house, that they heard a great tumult. They heard great mourning. People were screaming and bellowing their pity for this girl and this family. And Jesus, that's when he says this famous verse, verse 36. Soon as Jesus heard that the word was spoken, what was the word? That the daughter is dead. "Don't trouble the master," verse 36. He saith in the rule of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid, only believe. That's the instructions the angel basically gave to Mary and Elizabeth. Listen, I know you're scared. I know you're afraid. I know this is in your own mind. This doesn't go right. This doesn't mentally come out. The numbers don't add up. And in all human perspective, it doesn't work. You can't two and two together and an equal what you want. It doesn't mathematically work out. The Bible says that Mary and Elizabeth were encouraged by the angel. One instruction: for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can you hear it as the angel says, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be fearful. Only believe." This morning, we have a God that not only can, but he will. We're not only a God that knows how, but he's able to do it. You know what he's waiting on? He's waiting on us to believe. Believe that he can do it when no one says that he can. Believe he can do it when the doctor says it can't work. Believe he can do it when everybody says you can't reach Swain County. You can't do a church. You can't live for God in this day. He says, "Believe me and watch me do it." Amen. "Be not afraid," he said, "only believe." Third of all, last of all, write this down if you would. There's the instrument of faith. I believe with all my heart this morning that God is waiting to do the impossible in your life. He's waiting to do some amazing things in your life. God is wanting and desiring to do some impossible things through Victory Baptist Church and through our area. But he needs someone. He needs someone to say, "I believe. I believe." The Bible says it's just as small as a grain of a mustard seed. In fact, he's looking for that person who'll say, as the gospel said, that if you ask anything in my name, it shall come to pass. He's looking for that person who said, I don't believe what anybody else says. I don't believe what the world says. I don't even believe what the doctors say. The only thing I can really believe in is on Christ, the solid rock I stand, that in all other is seeking sand. He's waiting for somebody to say, God can do the impossible. When everybody else says no, God says yes. When everybody else says it can't be done, God says it can be done. When sickness comes in our lives, God says, don't be afraid, only believe. When death comes to our families, he says, be not afraid, only believe. When the bottom falls out of our life and our marriage and our home, he says, be not afraid, only believe. When the answers don't come in your life and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and it seems like nothing's going to work, he says, be not afraid, only believe. You see, the problem is never with God. God can do the impossible. The problem is we don't have faith to believe it. We don't have the faith to say, God, I believe you can do the impossible. In the early 1800s, we find the story of one of the first men that ever tightroped across Niagara Falls. The story was told, he traveled thousands of miles to get there. Crowds greeted him, screaming and hollering. And there he set a rope up and he began to walk across that tightrope across Niagara Falls. He got to the other side. The people went nuts. They were going crazy screaming. He got back on the tightrope. He walked back to the other side. They were screaming even more. I mean, just excited, pumped up. This time, he got a wheelbarrow. He filled it full of rocks. Got on the tightrope, and everybody got real quiet. What's he doing now? Got on that wheelbarrow, and he began to roll that wheelbarrow across that tightrope, across the Niagara Falls. I'm talking about a wheelbarrow full of rocks. He got to the other side. Everybody cheered and screamed. He turned around. He went back to the other side. This time, after he'd been through once walking, back walking, he had taken the wheelbarrow full of rocks through and now back through again walking. He dumped the rocks out. He said, how many of you believe that I can walk across that tightrope, across the Niagara Falls? And everybody started screaming, lifting their hands. He said, how many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow rocks across this rope across the Niagara Falls? Everybody started screaming. He said, how many believe I can push a person across this tightrope across Niagara Falls? Everybody started screaming. He said, who wants to get in? Silence. Isn't that impossible, God? Isn't that impossible faith? We've seen it time and time again. We read the stories. We heard about how God blessed Moses and the children of Israel, and God protected them. Watch, we heard the stories of how he fed them and how he led them and how miracles were made. But nobody's willing to get in the wheelbarrow. Nobody's willing to get in the wheelbarrow and walk across the rope with God Almighty. I've used this illustration many times before. This old pew back here, I can say I believe it all I want. I believe it's going to hold me up. I believe it's not going to break. I believe that's going to be something that I can do. But it's not genuine faith until I sit on it, until I stand on it, until I test it. Until I prove it. And God's saying, for with me nothing shall be impossible. Believe. Don't be afraid for your circumstances. Don't be afraid for the situation. You know what happens? A lot of times we get our eyes on fixated on what's going on right in front of us. Heard a story one time. 1982, Wisconsin Badgers were playing Michigan Wolverines in football.
They were playing at Wisconsin. Michigan was tearing them apart. I mean, just trouncing them. There was nothing to cheer about. The score was already out of hand. The story was told that in random parts of the game, even when Michigan had the ball and even when Michigan would score, there'd be cheering throughout the home crowd. The story was told that people were looking around saying, what's going on? Well, at the same time, the Milwaukee Brewers were playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the third game of the World Series, just 70 miles away. And many of those Wisconsin Badger fans were listening on their headphones to that game. And occasionally when they would score, you'd hear screams. And you'd hear yelling and people hooping and hollering, even though the game they were watching, they were losing big time. Someone said to the guy sitting there, how can you cheer when you know what's going on right in front of you? He said, I'm not worried about what's in front of me. I got something else I'm thinking about. You know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to get so fixated on the impossible right in front of us that we forget that there's something greater that lies within us, and that's an almighty God who can do the impossible. We get so fixated on the impossible. We can't. It's not going to happen. There's no healing. There's no good going to be done. And all the while we forget there's a God who's done it before. There's a God who can do it again. A few years ago, a song came out. The song says, it doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water. It'll be all right. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. Here's what the chorus says. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. The tag to that song says this: overcome the odds. You do have a chance. When the world says you can't, faith says you can. I don't know where you are in your life, and I don't know what impossible feat lies ahead of you. I don't know if it's in your marriage. I don't know if it's in your body. I don't know if it's at your job. I don't know if it's within your home. I don't know if it's something personally you're dealing with. But the devil for certain wants you to know that it's impossible. Without a doubt, the devil wants you to know that it can't be done. But maybe God sent me by today just to remind you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. George MacDonald says this: and whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably. I don't know about you, but I want God to know, God, I know you can do it. Not only do I know you can do it, but I believe you will. Impossible? Nah. Just take off the first two letters. Because with God, all things are possible. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, your truth, that beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know that we can do the impossible, not within ourselves, not within our own means, but through you. Thank you for the verse this morning that we know and that we memorize as children. I can do all things through Christ. God, there are people here this morning that are discouraged because impossibilities. There are people who are discouraged this morning because somebody has told them they can't. Somebody has told them for certain that they will not. God, I pray that you'd help us to understand that all things are possible with you. God, would you help us as a church to believe that we can do the impossible? That it doesn't matter if any of the churches stand, we can stand. It doesn't matter if any of the churches still reach, we can still reach. God, help us to believe the impossible. God, help us not to believe that you can, but believe this morning that you will. God, help us to jump in that wheelbarrow and say, God, I'm going with you. I believe. May we be reminded this morning that you're not the author of fear and confusion. You say, be not afraid, only believe. This morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody in the crowd this morning who said, I've heard those words before. It's impossible. It's impossible. Brother John, I've heard it over and over again. It's impossible. It's impossible for my marriage. It's impossible for me to survive this illness. It's impossible for me to continue to serve God. It's impossible, the devil said, from all the things that you've done to serve God. It's impossible. I wonder, how many, be honest with me, Brother John, say, I've heard those words before in my life, maybe more than once. It's impossible. Would you slip your hand up? I've heard that before. Brother John, that's me. It's impossible. Thank you. Thank you. Many hands. Can I tell you, those that raised their hand, even those that didn't, God wanted you to be reminded today. He wanted you personally, not every single person in this world, but just you. He wanted to remind you, for with God, nothing's impossible. Will you jump in that wheelbarrow with God? Will you step out by faith? And when you say, God, I'm leaving it with you. Not only do I believe you can, but I believe you will. And friend, as the song says, that's what faith can do. Say, Brother John, whether I've heard impossible or not, or whether somebody's told me that or not, today, I'm jumping in that wheelbarrow with God. Today, I'm gonna take what the angel said to Mary and Elizabeth. I'm going to take what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Jairus. Be not afraid, only believe. Brother John, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to step out by faith, and I'm going to believe God is able in my life. If that's you, Brother John, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. That's me, Brother John. I want to believe this morning that he's able to do more than able. Thank you. God bless you. Many hands, many hands. Would you stand to your feet all over the building? No one's looking around. Heavenly Fathers, we have an invitation. Speak to hearts. You know what we need. God, help us to put away fear, to put away our failures, put away all these human thoughts. And God, help us to believe you're the God of the impossible. In Jesus' name. No one's looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed right now.